Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening, and appreciate David's prayer, appreciate the singing, and now for an opportunity to come together to study from God's Word. Because we've been studying recently in the book of Exodus about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, I wanted to talk a little bit this evening about a passage that for many years has been controversial, and that is the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And I say controversial not because God made it that way. It's only been controversial in that when man, some 500 years ago, began to teach things contrary to God's Word, that it makes it look like it's a difficult passage to understand because of Calvinism, and we'll be talking a little bit about that this evening. But I want to talk a little bit about this matter of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And I hope at the end of the lesson that we can make it very practical. When you consider looking at Pharaoh and you consider looking at his heart and his life, you're thinking, well, we're talking about a man who lived thousands of years ago, and of course we are. But we're going to try to close this evening by making it very practical. We can have the same kind of heart that Pharaoh had if we're not careful. We can find ourselves in the same type of circumstances. And so I hope to make this very practical toward the end of the lesson. If I'm not a Christian and I haven't obeyed the gospel, as we're going to see in the book of Acts, the text says that some people hardened their hearts. They were not baptized. So that's important for me today. And in Hebrews chapter 3, those are brethren there. Those are Christians. And the writer says, be careful not to be hardened. So I want to try to make it very practical before we close. In other words, we're not just simply talking about an interesting text of Scripture and answering denominational error, but we're hopefully trying to learn some practical lessons for us today as well to keep our hearts soft and obedient and open to the Word of God. In the book of Exodus, as we have studied recently in some of our classes, the Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The Bible also says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And so that may appear to be maybe a contradiction, or how might we solve those things that appear to be contradictory? That's what we want to look at this evening. What is the explanation? Now, some skeptics and atheists and agnostics would say that, well, clearly the Bible contradicts itself. And there are websites that you can go to that have a whole list of Bible contradictions. And this would be one of them. The Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. The Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So clearly that's a contradiction, and they talk about it that way. But we're going to see that, obviously, God does not contradict himself in his word. The Bible is not contradictory. The explanation is found elsewhere, as we're going to see this evening. In the 1500s, a Swiss reformer, John Calvin, taught, contrary to God's word, that all mankind have been predestined by God to be saved or to be lost. God chooses every individual who will be saved and every individual who will be lost apart from their own free will. Ultimately, mankind does not have free will. If you go to heaven, it's because God makes you go to heaven. If you go to hell, God makes you go to hell. He taught that. Man does not choose from his own free will to be saved or lost. God chooses for him. And so since this time in the 1500s, for the past 500 years or so, this story of Pharaoh and the hardening of Pharaoh's heart has been a classic proof text among Calvinists, used by them to promote this man-made theory of predestination, because the text says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And so it's very clear that God chose him ahead of time to be lost. And so they use this as a classic text, and that's why we want to study it this evening, to help answer that. But in addition to that, we're going to learn along the way, hopefully, some practical lessons about being careful that we don't allow our own hearts to be hardened. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 9, verses 17 and 18 later. When John Calvin, in his commentaries, commented on Romans chapter 9, 17 and 18, He said in part, we are accordingly to take 2 points into consideration here. First, Pharaoh's predestination to destruction, and second, the purpose of his predestination. And then here's what I want you to notice this evening, underscore in your mind his statement. His character was given to him by God. That's the whole point. God made him that way. He didn't choose to be who he was. You don't choose to be who you are. The character that you have right now, that you're sitting with right now, that was given to you by God. You're not choosing that. You don't make choices about that. So his character was given to him by God. And so the matter of Pharaoh being hardened by God is used by Calvinists and has been since the day that he lived, and it has caused a lot of error in the denominational world, a lot of secondary problems that come from that that we don't have time to talk about this evening. And so we find ourselves, when we have discussions with Calvinists and others about this, to defend what the Bible truth says about the matter. Turn back with me now to Exodus chapter 7 and verse 13. Let's look at the examples in Scripture of where this statement is made. And when you look in the story of Exodus, you'll find 3 things. You'll find that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It's sort of a neutral statement. You're not told maybe who or how that was done. And so, first of all, you find the statement, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. You'll see that, for example, in chapter 7 and verse 13, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. You'll see that in chapter 7 and verse 22. The magicians of Egypt did in like manner with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. There's not an emphasis on Pharaoh, there's not an emphasis on God in these particular examples. Look at chapter 8 and verse 19. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Chapter 9, verse 35, the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and so forth. So we're going to see this evening how that plays out. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The second thing that you find when you study the book of Exodus is that there are statements where it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart, that focuses on his own free will and his own choice. For example, in chapter 8 and verse 15, he hardened his heart. Chapter 8, verse 32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go. So you have that particular wording. In chapter 9 and verse 34, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. So from these, we would say clearly he is a part of doing that. His free will is a part of doing that. He's choosing to do that kind of thing. And then, in the third place, you have a third kind of statement that is made. And this is the one that's attributed to God. So, for example, in chapter 4 and verse 21, I will harden his heart and he will not let the people go. Chapter 7 and verse 3, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Chapter 9 and verse 12, Jehovah hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Chapter 10 and verse 1, I have hardened his heart. So clearly God is also making and having a part in this situation as well. Chapter 10 and verse 20, Jehovah hardened Pharaoh's heart. Chapter 10, verse 27, Jehovah hardened Pharaoh's heart. Chapter 11 and verse 10, Jehovah hardened Pharaoh's heart. So it depends on who's approaching this subject. Of course, the Calvinist would say, well, that's God making Pharaoh be hardened. The skeptic and the agnostic, they don't go down that road. They just say, well, this obviously is a contradiction, and so we can't believe the Bible. Different people approach this different ways. We want to get to the truth of the matter, and how do we explain these different kinds of statements? And then in chapter 14 and verse 4, even all the way up past the 10 plagues and coming up to the crossing of the Red Sea, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. So it's not limited just to the 10 plagues. So how do we look at these particular things? Chapter 14 and verse 8, Jehovah hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Well, before we harmonize Scripture with Scripture and find the Bible truth about the matter, I just wanted to notice a couple of things by way of word study before we look at this. There's actually three different words used in these texts for harden. The chatzak, to grow firm or to be strong, the emphasis here, turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 21, the emphasis is on a person who has the ability to be strong against God. We can exercise our free will, and God, as we talked about this morning, is very powerful. His word is very powerful, but he allows us to have our own free will, and we can actually be strong against God and say, no, I don't want your word in my life. Jehovah said unto Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in thy hand, but I will harden his heart and he will not let the people go. The word here is, there's an emphasis on being strong against God. You can exercise your free will, I can, to be strong against God. Of course, do we want to do that? Is that a good thing to do? Look at chapter 7 and verse 3. This is a different word that is used, kasha. This is the word where there's an emphasis on someone who is stubborn, someone who is defiant. And so there's an attitude involved here of, I'm not going to do what you say. We might even be a nice person otherwise, in many respects, kind and gentle and nice. But when God says something in his word, we say, no, I'm not going to do that. And so there's an emphasis in this particular word on stubbornness in chapter 7 and verse 3. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. So more along the lines of rebellious and stubborn. And then the third one, look with me at chapter 9 and verse 34. This is kind of interesting. This is the word kabed, where there's an emphasis on the weight or the heaviness or the burdensomeness of it. And so it's hard in the sense, it would be like trying to carry a heavy load. We would say, well, that's hard to do. And so this is the idea of when we say no to God's word, it's actually weighing us down. And it's not what is best for us in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened, weighed down his heart, he and his servants. So when we say no to God's word, we begin to carry this heavy burden of stubbornness and strong-willedness. And it's not what's good for us. It's not what is best for us in our life. So these are three different words that are used throughout this text, and they have some value in understanding what those words are, and it helps us to see things about our attitude. The other thing that I wanted to notice before looking at the harmonization of these different statements is that God knew in advance what Pharaoh would do. Let's look at a few examples of this. I've just listed a few. There is divine foreknowledge, but just because God knows something in advance doesn't mean that he makes a person do what he does. But he does know in advance. Look at chapter 3 and verse 19. I will know, and I know that the king of Egypt will not give you leave. I know that. That's before the 10 plagues. That's before this whole center portion of the story, 7 through 14, gets started. God says, I know he's not going to let you go. God knows in advance what you're going to do, one way or the other. But he doesn't make you do that. God can have the power of foreknowledge without overriding your free will. Here's another thing that we find in this account with Pharaoh, and that is God's power, his divine counsel. I will do such and such. Look at chapter 4 and verse 21. Jehovah said to Moses, when you go back into Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in thy hand, but I will harden his heart. God does have a counsel. He does have a plan in place with regard to Pharaoh. It's not just purely accidental. We're going to see what that plan was later in Romans chapter 9. And then third, the whole thing serves a purpose. Turn with me to chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. God doesn't sit up in heaven doling out
plagues just to be doing that. There is a divine purpose.
And when you read the story, you'll notice a lot of times the word "that" is used. That you may do this, or that I may know, or that he may know, or that they may know. There's a reason for all of this. In chapter 7, for example, in verse 3, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not hearken unto you. And I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt," and so forth. It's to let people know the greatness and the power of God. You may recall that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, if you turn over to Exodus 15 and the Song of Moses, there's some verses there that talk about how that people up in Canaan, they heard about what God had done in Egypt. They knew what He had done in Exodus 15. Turn over to Joshua chapter 2, and even Rahab says, "We've heard of this God of yours and how that He brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power." Turn over to Joshua chapter 9. And read about the Gibeonites. They said the same thing. "We've heard about how that God brought you out of the land of Egypt." These plagues and the hardening of Pharaoh's heart was to accomplish a divine purpose, to show the person of God, His greatness and His power. So this evening we want to look at these statements. And yes, of course, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's understandable. That's not the issue. But is this what John Calvin was teaching? Turn with me now to Romans chapter 9. And we'll spend a little time in Romans chapter 9. John Calvin said that this is an example of God hardening someone's heart against His will. And so he believed that that proved his point. Remember, Calvin's comments on Romans 9, 17 and 18 were, "He gave him his character." He gave him his character. In Romans chapter 9, we're going to read verses 14 through 18 in just a moment. And verse 17 is a quotation of Exodus 9, verse 16. But before we look at that, back up to verse 1. Always study the context, always get the context. When you read 17 and 18, and even some brethren have struggled with this, they read just a statement where it says, "God hardened Pharaoh's heart." They don't read above or below. What is Paul talking about here in Romans chapter 9? Well, really, the whole thing runs through chapter 11. Sometime when you're studying on your own, notice when you get to Romans chapter 9 through 11, Paul brings up the word Israel. He brings up the word Israel. Look at chapter 9, verse 6, for example. Okay? Romans 9 through 11 is Paul discussing what is the state of Israel, the Jews, in his day, now that Christ has come and the old law is no longer valid. What is God doing with the Jews? How can they be saved? Okay. In fact, in chapter 9 and verse 1, he prays that they would be saved. And in chapter 10 and verse 1, he desires for them to be saved. But it's in chapter 9, 10, and 11 where Paul brings up Israel, Israel, Israel. Okay? And he's trying to explain to his readers what Israel needs to do to be saved. Okay? And look now at chapter 9 and verse 7 and 8. He makes the point that Israel is not going to be saved simply because they're Israel. They're not going to be saved simply because they're physical Jews. They're going to be saved because of the promise. It is not the children of the flesh that are the children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed. Okay? It's going to be those who have faith in Christ that are going to be saved. The promise which is fulfilled in Christ. They're the ones who are going to be saved, not just being a physical Jew. Now, look at verse 9. Starting in verse 9, Paul makes an argument that he has a divine right to select how his plan is going to unfold. And sometimes he selects that plan without any, without discussing that with mankind and letting them have input. He just makes a divine plan or a purpose. Okay? So the first example that he gives in verse 9 is with regard to Isaac and Rebekah. They're going to have some children. And God made a decision before they were even born that salvation would come through Jacob and not through Esau. He made that decision. And it wasn't anything that Jacob or Esau had done to bring that about. The whole argument of Romans chapter 9 is, first of all, to answer the question, how is Israel saved? And he's going to get to that at the end of the chapter by saying they're going to be saved when they put their faith in Jesus Christ. It's not going to be a righteousness of the law. It's going to be a righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. Okay? So here's how Israel is going to be saved. And Paul wants to give some illustrations of how God makes selections and choices. Okay? And sometimes he'll make a choice, verse 11, 12, 13, to choose Jacob and not Esau. And notice the statement in verse 10, not of works. He doesn't wait for Jacob and Esau to do something themselves. He made that choice ahead of time. Then look at 14 through 18. It's another example of a choice that God made. Not to personally make someone something, not to give them their character and force them to be hardened, but it's just an example of God chose Pharaoh to serve his purposes. Verse 17, for this very purpose did I raise thee up. He didn't choose him to save him or to make him lost. He chose him to serve a purpose, just like he chose Jacob to serve a purpose. Chapter 9 is not about people that God chooses to be saved and people that God chooses to be lost. That's a very simplistic and erroneous idea. Go back and look at what Paul is doing starting at the beginning of the chapter. How did I bring about ultimately the salvation of Israel through Jesus Christ? I made some choices along the way. Listen, not of individual salvation or damnation, but who is going to serve my purposes in bringing about Jesus Christ? And I did that with choosing Jacob, for example, and choosing Pharaoh, and on down through the chapter. Now, let's look at verse 14. What shall we say then? Paul has just said that God chose Jacob and not Esau. He's anticipating in verse 14 someone raising the objection, oh, this is unrighteous for God to pick one over the other. So what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. There's nothing that God does in choosing Jacob over Esau. That's not unrighteous. And choosing Pharaoh to show his power, that's not unrighteous. For he saith to Moses, and then a quotation from Exodus 33:19, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. He's not selecting people to be saved or lost. He's selecting people to show mercy and compassion or not. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that hath mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, and this is Exodus 9:16, for this very purpose did I raise thee up, not to go against your free will, not to make you damned against your will. But why, God? Why did you pick Pharaoh? That I might show in you my power, and that my name might be published abroad in all the earth. So then he hath mercy on whom he will, and on whom he will he hardens. And we're going to see this evening how he did that. But Romans 9 is not talking about God picking some people to be saved and picking some people to be lost. He's picking people to serve his purposes. He picked Jacob over Esau. He picked Pharaoh to bring about a plan of salvation ultimately through Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between that and making people saved and making people lost. Those are two different things. Paul taught the former, Calvin taught the latter. And the other point that Paul is making here is, let's look also at Romans chapter 9. Come on down. Paul is also making the point that even when somebody is not acting right, even when somebody like Pharaoh, who hardened his own heart, when they're not acting right and they're not living right and they're not doing right, God can still even use them to serve His purposes. So let's keep reading. I had turned away from Romans. Let me get back to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, Paul often in the book of Romans anticipates objections. You will say to me, why does he still find fault? For who withstands his will? No, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? He's anticipating where people might be saying, well, you know, that wasn't fair to Esau and that wasn't fair to Pharaoh. And so he's anticipating that and saying, no, there's no unrighteousness with God. And look at verse 21 or 20. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why did you make me thus? Or has not the potter a right over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel unto honor and another part unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, that's why he raised up Pharaoh and his power, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy, which he afore prepared unto glory, even us, who he also called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. Even when people aren't living right, God can work his plan to bring about his will, even when he's working with unbelievers like Pharaoh himself. That's what Paul is teaching in Romans chapter 9. So, let's look now at the book of Exodus. In Exodus, we have these verses that say that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and those are the verses that people have the most trouble with. Let's read the context and see how the Lord did that. And that really is the issue this evening. Did the Lord harden Pharaoh's heart? Well, of course he did. That's what the scripture says. The issue is, how did he do that? Did he do that indirectly? I'm sorry, did he do that directly apart from Pharaoh's free will? Did he circumvent Pharaoh's free will and just give him his character? That's what Calvin said in his commentary. Or was there another way that he did that? And that's what we're going to see this evening. How did the Lord harden Pharaoh's heart? Did the Lord do it directly and apart from Pharaoh's free will? No. Pharaoh had a choice all along the way. Did the Lord do it indirectly and in conjunction with Pharaoh's free will? Yes, and that's what we're going to see this evening. And what he used was, indirectly, he used the circumstances that were going on with the 10 plagues and Moses and Aaron and even the Egyptian magicians and all of that. He used that to indirectly get to Pharaoh. Now, this is very important. We're not talking this evening about a man who lived several thousand years ago. Do you know the same thing is going on right now? This is very important. God is doing the same thing with you and me. God is giving us circumstances. God is sending us people. God is giving us His Word through the Bible. And we're surrounded by circumstances where we're either going to be hardened or not. The same thing is going on today. This is not just some interesting story that happened thousands of years ago. God operates the same way even today. So, God gives you sermons and Bible classes and interaction with brethren and your personal reading and circumstances that happen at work and school and prayers and assembling or not assembling and just all the circumstances that you're being given in life, you're taking that and you're either hardening or you're softening. God works the same way today. He's allowing us to use our free will. He's allowing us to, just like Pharaoh had to do something with those 10 plagues, what am I doing with all the sermons I hear? What am I doing with all the Bible classes that I sit in? What am I doing with all the prayers that I hear and the interaction with brethren and the friends that I have one way or the other at work and school and the people out in the community and somebody comes up and says something to me. What am I doing with all of that? God's doing the same thing with us today that He's doing with Pharaoh. So it becomes a very real lesson for us. It's not just answering Calvinism. It becomes very real for us today. So what were these circumstances that God used? Well, we know that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. This shows that he exercised his own free will. We also know that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. This shows the Lord did something. And so that's what we want to get to now. Let's look. This slide right here is the heart of the lesson. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 21. Here's how God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart by giving him the circumstances and the situations. He sent Moses. He gave demands. He gave his word. He gave miracles. He gave Pharaoh and the Egyptians. It's not just about Pharaoh. Some of the Egyptians hardened their heart too. He gave them the circumstances and the demands, and they took that and made a decision with it. And one thing that's interesting about this, and in preparing this lesson this evening, it's really very simple. If you will take some of these statements where it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, if you'll just read the verse right above it, or just the rest of the verse, it'll show you how He did that. We tend sometimes in our Bible study just to isolate one word. It would be like going through all of the faith passages and saying, well, all we need is faith. We just isolate one word or one phrase. And that's what Calvinists and others have done with this statement. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And they just isolate that. But just read above it and read below it. And it's very simple to answer how He did that. We've read this verse already this evening. Look at it again. Jehovah said unto Moses, when you go back into Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in thy hand, but I will harden his heart. How? By the wonders which I have put in your hand. That's how I'm going to harden his heart. Not directly and apart from his free will. I'm going to give you, Moses, the power to do miracles. And as he goes through those plagues, he's going to harden his heart. Look at chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Just read above and below the statement where it says, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Just read above and below it to find out how He did that. Look at chapter 7 and verse 3. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Those aren't two separate things. He's saying what I'm going to do and then how I'm going to do that. Just read the rest of the verse, you see. Pharaoh will not hearken unto you, and I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my host, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. That's how I'm going to harden his heart. Look at chapter 11 and verse 10. The text tells us how God did it. Calvin said, well, that was just a choice of God that he made up in heaven without anything else. I'm going to make Pharaoh be this way. That's not what the text says. God says, I'm going to do some things and I will harden his heart. He's telling us how he's going to harden. Look at chapter 11, 9 and 10. Jehovah said unto Moses, Pharaoh will not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and Jehovah hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. Look at verse 10. Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and Jehovah hardened Pharaoh's heart. Those are not two separate things. Those are not two completely different thoughts. It's by the working of Moses and Aaron that God did the hardening. That's what the text says. Look at chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, in the matter of crossing the Red Sea. Jehovah said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn back and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, before Baal-Zephon. Over against it shall you encamp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will not follow after them. And he shall follow after them, and I will get me honor. Verse 4 says that God is going to harden Pharaoh's heart. But how would that happen, verse 2 and 3?
When Pharaoh saw the children of Israel, it looks like they're not going to be able to go anywhere. Oh, I can go after them now. It was the circumstances of placing Israel where they were in relationship to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh seeing that he hardened his heart.
So all of these things, be it God's word, his demands, the miracles, the time between one miracle and another. Here's another great example. Turn with me to chapter 9 and verse 34. Chapter 9 and verse 34. God hardened Pharaoh's heart, not directly against his will, but by giving him the circumstances which he would choose to do that himself. Look at chapter 9, verse 34. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. When he saw
what?
When he saw what God was giving him, he made that choice to harden his heart. Even when Pharaoh saw what his own magicians, how they were reacting, and those around him, all of these things worked together in God hardening Pharaoh's heart, not directly, but through the circumstances. And so this really is the heart of the lesson. And God placed Pharaoh and others in circumstances where they chose to be hardened. God provided the circumstances and thereby indirectly hardening Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart when he exercised his own free will. He chose not to obey. Pharaoh, as Calvin suggested, is not a victim of some arbitrary, capricious God who sits up in heaven and he chooses down to the exact number who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. That's not how that works. Pharaoh was not forced by God against his will to be hardened. God gave him those circumstances in order to show his power, and Pharaoh made his own decision. So, the same word that hardened Pharaoh's heart softened the heart of others, including some of the Egyptians who went with Israel, the mixed multitude. Why is it that others who witnessed the exact same 10 plagues, why is it that they feared God and obeyed? Their attitude was different. They had the same circumstances as Pharaoh. Their attitude was different. Their heart was different. And so what that reminds me of is this illustration about the sun, maybe that you've heard before. The same sun that hardens the clay softens butter. The same God that gives all of these circumstances to everybody in Egypt, some of them were hardened by it, and some of them were softened by it. It's the same God, the same circumstances. The heart is different, the attitude. And so today, with regard to the gospel, it's the same gospel. Why is it that when you have Bible classes and sermons and things like that, why is it that some obey and some don't? It's the same material. You ever thought about that? It's the same sermon. It's the same class. It's the same material. People choose to react to it differently. And so in Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower, it's the same seed that falls on different hearts, but the hearts are different. The responses are different. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16 that the gospel is a savor unto life, or a savor unto death. It's the same gospel. But depending upon how you react to it, you're going to have eternal life or eternal death. And so, God hardened Pharaoh's heart through these circumstances. In fact, he was stubborn before the 10 plagues even came along. And these circumstances that God gave him hardened him even more. So, Pharaoh exercised his free will. This is clear in chapter 9. He said, I have sinned. I have hardened my heart. There's plenty of passages this evening that we could look at that shows that he exercised his own free will. But turn with me to chapter 10 and verse 3. This is interesting. If God is forcing Pharaoh to be hardened, as some suggest, if he made him be this way, how do you explain God's own words in chapter 10 and verse 3? This is interesting. Chapter 10, verse 3. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they said unto him, Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. How long will you refuse to humble yourself. Oh, Pharaoh should have just said, wait a minute now. God's making me do this. Why are you asking me how long will it be until I humble myself? God is making me do this. You see, that's a problem, isn't it? Chapter 10 and verse 3 is very telling. Chapter 10 and verse 3 says that Pharaoh can change. He can be different. He's not being forced by God to be this way. How in the world would God say to Pharaoh, how long will you refuse to humble me while I'm making you be this way? Talk about an unrighteous God. God would never do that. He would never make us a certain way and then turn around and ask, why are we being that way? Chapter 10 and verse 3 is very important. Pharaoh is not being forced by God to be what he is. He's choosing that himself, and he needs to learn to humble himself. And there's some other things if you want to get the notes this evening. There's some other points that could be made. I want to come to the close. But God provided the occasion for Pharaoh's heart to be hardened, but Pharaoh himself was the direct cause of the hardening of his heart. And so as we come down to the close of the lesson, I just simply want to close on this point and try to make some practical applications for us today. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. We'll close with a couple of points here. Let's bring it down to home for us this evening. Are we hardened or are we soft? Let's look at two examples. One of some non-Christians who need to be baptized, and then we'll turn over to Hebrews 3. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is in the city of Ephesus. We find in verse 8 that he reasoned in the synagogue and so forth the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, reasoning in the school of Tyrannus. Look at verse 9. There were some who were hardened. I don't want to obey the gospel. I don't want to be baptized. I don't want to obey. The word here is the same word that we had in our scripture reading tonight in Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to get to that in just a second. These are non-Christians. If you're here this evening and you need to be baptized into Christ and you're not a Christian, you're non-Christian, don't be like these folks. Paul ran into some folks who were hardened and disobedient. And the word that is used here is interesting. It literally means dried out, hardened. You know when things dry out, they get hard, you know, like a piece of bread, leave it out on the counter. When it dries out, it gets hard, right? This is something that has been dried out and now it's hard. But this is a non-Christian. And so we want to get to the point where when we hear the gospel invitation, we don't want to be hardened and disobedient. We want to be soft and obedient. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 for those of us who are Christians. This hardening is not just some interesting lesson about Pharaoh. It's about us today. The writer of Hebrews, let's look at our scripture reading, says that brethren, we as brethren, if we're not careful, when we do our daily Bible reading in classes, sermons, Bible discussions, when we hear the Word of God, if we're not careful, we can get hardened to where we say, well, you know, I don't want to do that. So look at it in Hebrews chapter 3. Acts 19 was talking about non-Christians who can get hardened and they're not baptized. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, here are Christians who can get hardened. Look at it. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you, he's talking to brethren, Christians, brethren, verse 12, an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. Have you ever thought about the idea of how a Christian falls away? It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen immediately. We don't just wake up one day and I've stopped going to church. Look at verse 12. Take heed. It's a warning. This can happen slowly. And so I'm just not reading my Bible as I should. I'm not attending as I should. Even if I am here, I'm really not engaged. I don't pray as much. I'm not focused on spiritual things. And so this slow hardening comes along. And after a while, I just don't want to be a faithful Christian anymore. So he says, take heed. Okay. Look at verse 13. Look at the second thing he says. But exhort one another day by day. We need exhortation to be soft and compliant. If we're not careful, we'll just slowly get hardened. We're seeing statistics more and more where even young people are quitting and leaving the church, and they're not as faithful like they were growing up at home. And so it's a slow hardening process. So we have to be on guard ourselves. Okay? Look at verse 13. We've got to stay exhorted day by day. It's a daily process. So long as it is called today, lest any one of you, he's talking about brethren, be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we just slowly get hard in our heart and we fall away. Let's be very mindful of that. It could be a non-Christian, Acts 18, or it could be a Christian. Let's have open hearts to obedience and not hard hearts to disobedience. We're going to sing this song of encouragement, I Am Resolved. I hope that that has helped us to answer the question of that well-known, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. But even more so, not just to understand Acts 9, that's important. Not just to understand the book of Exodus, that's important. But also in a practical way, to guard ourselves from being hardened. It could get to the point where we just never obey the gospel when we should. Or it could get to the point where, as a Christian, we fall away. And our pew is now empty. Our seat is now empty. When we could be here, we're back out in the world. So we have to be very careful about that. Let's be resolved to obey the Lord this evening. And if we can help you do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?